let me share one more song just before I, it just helps me to calm down and be ready. We'll do a few more songs this evening. And so, anyway, this is a song, I have not recorded this song, but I heard it a couple of years ago, and it really spoke to my heart. And I think we forget about why the Lord came. He didn't come just so we knew who he was, but he came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give his life on the cross and to shed his blood to pay for the penalty of sin, a precedence, not only the sin, but the payment of sin that was set down in history, beginning in Genesis, and all the way through, and then came to that point on the cross where he paid for all of that. And so it's amazing when we think about everything that the Lord did. So this is a song written by the Cups called The Man in the Middle. High upon a mountain, at a place called Calvary, stood three old wooden crosses for Savior and to thieves. And we all know the reason the two men had to die. But the man in the middle was there for you and I. And the man in the middle was not an ordinary man, 'cause he could make the blind to see with the one touch of his hand. And the sound of his voice brought Lazarus back to life. And the man in the middle was there for you and I. All the wonders of heaven have to bow at his command, and all the things that lie beneath him were made by his two hands. And somewhere in a nursery, a newborn baby cries, because the man in the middle was a giver of life. And the man in the middle was not an ordinary, 'cause he could make the blind to see with the one touch of his hand. And the sound of his voice brought Lazarus back to life. And the man in the middle was there for you and I. And the man in the middle was there for you and I.
Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. See, that young one was saying, "Preacher, preach on." Isn't it great to have life in the church? Man, what a blessing. Sandy and I are very excited about being here, and we are thankful for your pastor and his wife, thankful for the friendship, thankful for the times that we've been here, and y'all let us come back. I shared with someone, we're also visitors. We're just return visitors. So if you're a first-time visitor, be a return visitor. All right? Come back again. And I tell you what, you're not going to find a better church. That was a good chance for an opportunity for you members to say amen. I know you were thinking, what's he going to say after that? I was giving you an opportunity. So Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to mention this because we really don't push it a lot. But on the table back there, all of those books my wife has written. And hold your hand up for those who don't know you, please. Okay. She's this beautiful woman on the second row over here. And her latest book, I think there's two books, Spitfire and Wanted. And they are very, very good books. Aside from the Lord, she's my favorite author. And then after her is Louis L'Amour. That is the order you told me to say it in, isn't it? I'm $20 richer this morning, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, they are good books. She has written a new one. We pray that we can have it out in a couple of months, month and a half. I get this look from her. You see, she's written it, but now I get to put it all together and do the cover and everything. And with everything else going on, I can't get it done quick enough for her. Anyway, it's called For the Price of Beulah Land. And I've read the book. It's good. And so anyway, I just let you know her books are back there. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Father, I come before you this morning and I'm so thankful for who you are and that I can call you my Heavenly Father. I thank you for the honor to stand behind this sacred desk, and thank you for Pastor Furze and his trust in us to stand here and to preach your word. It is a great honor. Thank you for this church and for the testimony that it has in this community as well as around the world. And so, Father, I pray today for these who are here. I have no idea the condition of souls today. Father, you are the only one who knows who is saved and who is not. I pray that there are those who know they are saved. But, Father, if there's any question with anyone today, they'd get it settled. I'm asking you to bind the devil. You promised you would, and so we ask through Jesus Christ that you would bind him and give freedom for the Holy Spirit to work. Father, if there's somebody here today who's never biblically been born again, I pray for them. And I pray they might realize today they need Jesus. especially in the upheaval of this world, there's no greater peace than the peace that is found in Jesus Christ. And then, Father, for those of us who are saved, I ask that you would do a search in our hearts, as David wrote in Psalm 51. Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be some wicked way in me. Father, I pray today that you'd have your will and your way in our life. And if there's something that would hinder our walk with you, today we'd get it settled. I love you, and I thank you for your love to me as well as the world. Have your will in your way, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you don't mind, I'm going to get a little undignified here. The coat's the only thing coming off. I want you to know that. In this passage, the title of the message this morning is, "And You Hath He Quickened." And I'm going to ask you to do something this morning and to use your imagination, because I think that I need you to envision a body that's lying here and one on the other side of the platform. I wish I could carry dummies, but if I did that, my wife would say they have your same mentality. It's just easier to have you imagine what I'm trying to talk about, and that helps us and saves me having to carry anything. Our first responders, any first responders in here? Thank you for what you do. And I think you would agree with me that many times coming upon a scene of a wreck or a fire or something, that our first responders many times will find a body that the life is already gone. It's a sad thing to come upon it, and after examination, they find there is no life left in that body. As soon as they can, they will cover that body with a sheet or some kind of covering out of respect to not only that body, but out of respect to family and such that might show up or come by. On this side of the platform is a body that many times our first responders come upon the scene, and it is hanging on by the thread of life. There's still breath. There's still vitals, but barely. They are barely hanging on. They're going to do what they can to get that body to functioning back to its full capacity. That's the desire. They do not want that body to end up as the first one. And then I'm going to represent the middle one. And there are three different lives that we're going to look at in this passage. And I will represent the middle one because that's where I'm living today in our lives. The first one is found, and this one is found over here in verses 1 through 3. This was me before I got saved. You see, I want you to notice what it says. And remember who he's writing to. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. So he's writing to believers. He's not writing to the lost, but he's writing to believers, and he's reminding them of where they've come from. The problem we have in America today is we have a generation who's forgotten about where we came from. This nation that they're fighting against, and so much upheaval, and I have to tell you, it's not surprising. God said it was going to happen. And so it's going according to God's plan. But can I tell you this, that this nation was founded upon this book. And they've drawn away from it. As every nation that gets away from God, we see what happens. When you get home, read Judges chapter 2, and you'll see what happens when a nation forgets God. Because what they did exactly what our nation has done when they turned their backs on God. Thank the Lord for the victory of Roe versus Wade being overturned, and you say, I don't agree with that. I'll visit with you afterwards if you want to, because there's a lot of babies going to be born now. They're going to be thankful that they're not going to be aborted. And I'm telling you, that's a great victory. But there are things that are happening in our country that are happening because of a problem of not remembering where we came from. And so Before I got saved, verses 1 through 3 described who I was. And those of you who are saved, it describes who you were. And if you're not saved, you've never been born again, it describes, and I'm not trying to be mean, it just describes who you are right now. Verses 1 through 3, look at it. It says, "And you hath he quickened." That word quickened there in the Greek, and I don't know any Greek, so I have to look it up. I know a little Hebrew, but he stands about this tall. That's all Hebrew I know. So I have to look up those who are experts, and I'm usually careful about when they say an expert, because I always knew that an expert was a drip under pressure. So you'll get that later on. So here in verse 1 it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That was me. That was me. This body right here has no life in it. We're talking about, even though we describe it as physical life, it had no spiritual life because I was dead in trespasses and sins. He's reminding the church at Ephesus where they came from. He's reminding of who they were before they got saved, that they had been quickened because they were dead. They had no hope outside of Jesus Christ, and that's the way I was. Hey, listen, I was a church member of an independent Baptist church. I was in Bible college, and I was lost as a goose. Had I died in the tornado God allowed me to go through in 1974 while I was at college in Iowa, and it hit the building that I was in, had I died, I'd have split hell wide open as a church member and as a Bible college student. But the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, "For God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God spared my life that day. I ran from God because nobody else knew that I was lost, just God and I. And I thought, I became, as Roy Clark used to sing, the great pretender. And I pretended. I went back home in 1974 and was faithful in our church and went out and visited, knocked doors with our preacher in the north end of Wichita, Kansas, and sang and led choir, sang songs and led the singing and led the choir. And even, I mean, whatever the preacher wanted me to do, I'd do it. But I knew I was lost. But I was a great pretender until March 18th, 1975, when my mother, sitting across from me, and I'm thankful for my mom asked me this question, probably been on her heart for a long time. She says, "Greg, are you really saved?" And I'll be honest, I was tired of running and tired of lying. And I said, "No, Mom, I'm not." She opened up the Bible and she took me through the Romans Road as well as some other verses. And she says, "I know you know these, but let's look at them anyway." And then we knelt at the couch in my parents' home. It was an ugly green couch. But there was one that folded down to make a bed, an extra bed if we needed it. But, oh, it was ugly. But you see, I brought my ugliness of sin to that couch and knelt and ask God to save my wretched soul, to forgive me. I confessed I was a sinner, asked him to save my soul, repented of my sin. And I'm going to tell you, he always keeps his word. And that day my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it cannot be erased. I have eternal life, not temporary life. And I'm going to tell you, that day, I wanted to tell my preacher what had happened. And I did. I went and told him and called into work. My boss did not understand when I told him. I said, "I need this afternoon off. I need to go see my preacher because I got saved." And he goes, "Oh, that's good." Had no understanding what I was talking about. But I went to my preacher, knocked on the door, went to his office and knocked on his office door. He looked up and he says, "Hi, Greg, how are you doing?" And I said, "I'm doing great. I wanted to come and tell you that I got saved today." And he goes, "Oh, that's good." Well, We teased each other a lot. He was my daddy in the ministry. But I'm going to tell you, we teased each other a lot. And I said, "No, preacher, I'm telling you, I got saved today." And he looked up, because he was studying. He looked up, realized how serious I was, came around from his desk, hugged me, and we rejoiced. We had a hallelujah fit right there in the office. I said, "Listen, I don't want to wait till Sunday." This was a Tuesday. "I don't want to wait till Sunday to get baptized. Can I get baptized tomorrow night?" He said, "Absolutely, as long as you give your testimony." I said, "I would be happy to." Long story short, I got baptized Wednesday night, but gave my testimony beforehand. And during the invitation, five people got saved. including the head deacon's wife, because she had been a great pretender also. I'm telling you, this was me. I was dead in trespasses and sin. And God reminds me that that was me and that he quickened. You know what's so exciting about that word quickened? Are you ready for this? It'll make a Baptist shout. It means to be made alive. Oh, my soul. A matter of fact, it almost makes me want to attempt jumping up and kicking my heels. Because it's that exciting, because I was dead. I had no hope. I was headed for an eternity in hell. But God in his love and mercy, and I'll get into that in just a second. But he saved my soul and he quickened. It would be like if this body, it would scare you to death if this happened on the scene of a wreck. This body who has no breath, no life would go, ugh. If it were me, I'd have a heart attack and die right there. But spiritually speaking, it's exactly what happened on March 18, 1975. I had no hope of eternity with Christ, with Jesus, with God. I had no hope of eternity. I had no hope of eternal life because my destiny, so to speak, my life was headed for an eternity in hell. But when he made me alive that day that I got saved, I was made new and whole. That's what he's trying to remind. He says, and you hath he quickened who were. That's past tense. Hey, do you realize that that a person who's in Christ, that we were dead, we were deluded, we were disobedient, we were defiled, but now we have life. We have been made alive. We've been quickened. He says, verse number 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, there's only two spiritual families in the world. That's God and the devils. And if a person doesn't have Jesus Christ in their life and they're not God's child, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you this is the truth. This is how it is. Religion can't change that. Religion doesn't get anybody saved. Religion's man-made. The only way we can go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his shed blood and because of him paying the penalty and because he quickens us when we get saved. And I'm going to tell you, he says, you were dead. In time past, you walked like a lost person, because you are a lost person. You belong to the devil. I mean, that's what he's describing. That's what the reason I walked that way. Oh, I had a facade. I looked like a believer, but in my heart I wasn't. I'm telling you, that's what helped me to deal with the things that happened in 2020 and all the protests and even those that are going on today. God reminds me a lost person acts like a lost person. I can't expect them to act like a saved person because they're not. And the Bible says that when I got saved, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, I love that word, set up and take notice. That's what it means. Behold, all things are become new. If a person says they're saved and nothing has changed in their life, best described by an old country preacher, says, if you is what you was, you ain't. Pretty profound, is it not? I'm telling you, you see, when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, the devil has to move out, and our life is new, our direction is new, and we're no longer dead in trespasses and sin, but we are made alive to walk in Christ. Man, that's an exciting thing. So he's reminding them where they came from. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all. He's including himself here. Paul was a lost man until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And guess what? When he met Jesus, his life was totally different. Whew. He says, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But look at verse number 4. Whew. This will make your soul do a happy dance. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the present. You see, the other is the past. That's my past, but this is my present. You see, I've been quickened, and that's what he's talking about, through God's mercy and his grace. I heard this years ago, and I fell in love with it. It says that mercy opened the door that grace walked through. See, God's mercy and grace has been around forever. And when we come to Christ, and through Christ, we get to taste of his mercy and his grace. I love in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love, means showed forth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Is that not exciting? God doesn't say, well, now, wait a minute, you got to clean up your life, and then I'll think about saving you. No. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those hypocrites. He says, you're like whited sepulchres. You look good on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. That's what a person is that tries to make it to heaven through religion. And they try to make it through good works. They try to make it any other way but God's way. I'm going to tell you, the only way to heaven is through God's way. And that's through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And he'll quicken us. Man, it's exciting. And it says that we are quickened us and we are together with Christ. Brother Johnny Flanagan went to be with the Lord last year. Wrote over 500 gospel songs. And he wrote a song says, and he was singing, I have a video of him singing it. He and his wife Nelda says, I'm already there in Jesus, just waiting for my body to be. See, I'm already in the presence of the Lord through Christ. I'm already there. Once this old shell's gone, I'm there. I'm telling you, I don't understand why God's people are so afraid to die. You know, that was the thing in 2020. We found a lot of God's people were afraid to die. And maybe we mentioned this last time we were here, but it's still happening. Why? There's only one of two things. Either their life's not right with God or they're not saved. Say, is it possible? Hello. I was a church member and I was lost. And so, anyway, I'm not worried about dying. If my body drops today from a heart attack, you can come attend to it, but if it's my time to go, I'm going. And I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? Because no more taxes, no more sickness, no more nothing. I mean, I'm going to be ready. No, if somebody could get mad at me, I won't even know it. I mean, I'm just saying, there's no better place to be than in the presence of the Lord. Man, I never asked Nelda this, but I told Sandy, I said, I wonder if Brother Johnny got to write a song his first moments in heaven. Because he wrote so many of them here. I mean, it's just amazing. And so this is the present. This is where I'm at today. You see, God showed his love to us, its richness, its reality. His love was shared with us. I'm telling you, we basically have been plucked from the tomb of eternity in hell through Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. And we have been set our feet upon a solid rock. And we are alive and well. And what an honor to serve the Lord. What a joy. We're saved through God's grace. And then, look at the last three verses. This is the prospect. He says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I pause the wagon there for just a second? If we could work our way to heaven or earn our way to heaven, we'd be telling the world about what we have done. Come on now. I mean, we'd be saying, look at me. I mean, we'd have our thumbs hooked in our spiritual suspenders going, look what I did. God, you're so honored to have me. Look how hard I worked. Sorry, we can't earn our way to heaven. There's not anything you and I can do that would earn our way into a holy heaven in the presence of a holy and righteous God. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his grace, for by grace are you saved. Because if we could do it, if we could work our way, we'd make a boasting. So it is a gift of God. My wife has a reading that the Lord gave her. Give me the title of it again. It talks about the birth of Christ, the cradle.
A baby is a stable in God's time.
A baby is stable in God's time. I'm telling you, we don't just celebrate Christmas for the exchanging of gifts. We celebrate the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ, who God gave for us so we could have hope of eternity. Amen. And he paid for our sin. So you say, well, then what about this body on this side? I'm glad you brought that up. Look at verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This body represents when a person who knows the Lord has fallen away or taken steps away from God. Their testimony has deteriorated. Their walk with the Lord has deteriorated. They are in need of being revived. That's the need for revival in America today. That's for the need for revival in our local churches. Because you see, a lot of God's people have been so overcome with the ways of the world, and they've chosen to look at the world more than they look at God. They've chosen to follow the world more than they follow the Lord. And as a result, their life has gone downhill, and it even comes to a point to where the world looks at us and can't see the difference between us and them. You say, no, that's not true. Then you just, well, don't travel with us in our fifth wheel, but just follow us to some of the places across the country, and you'll see what we're seeing. And we're seeing there are churches who need to be revived because their life is not what God expects it to be. Hey, listen, it's not what I expect you to be. God's the one that set the standard. God's the one that says this is the way our life ought to be because we are honoring him. And it's like what my dad used to tell me, Greg, as I was walking out the door, don't you shame our wagoner name. And I wonder how many times we as God's people, we come in and send her a good message, and your pastor's a great preacher, preaches the word of God, and we hear the message, and we walk out, and we go out and shame the name of God in our walk and our testimony. That's this one here. You say, well, that can't happen. Oh, it did, and it can, and it will. If we don't take the measures to do, if we don't allow God to give us breath and to get us back up again where we are in this position where we're serving the Lord again. You say, well, but you can't prove it. Oh, I'll take that. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. I realize that this passage is dealing with church ages, but each church age is represented by a literal local church. And the very first one is the one that we've been reading out of. And I want you to see what God said about this church. Unto the angel, verse 1, chapter 2, book of Revelation. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works. Man, you ought to just understand, he knows everything about what you think, what you say, and what you do. He knows with what heart you do it. He knows with what spirit you do it. He knows everything. Hello, attention, Walmart shoppers. I'm telling you, he's our creator. He knows everything about us. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. He gives them all of the accolades of the things that they've been doing, but there's a problem, and he's going to bring it out in the next verse. Nevertheless, in spite of all that, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, you've done all the right things, and you've done it out of duty, but you haven't done it out of love for me. We're talking about this same church. I'm telling you, it's a testimony that it can happen to any one of us. It's a testimony to tell us that if we're not careful and we don't stay vibrant in the Lord and we don't stay close to the Lord and we don't stay in love with the Lord. You see, what happened is that they got used to who Jesus was, and they got used to things, and they were doing it out of duty instead of loving the Lord. And if we do the same thing, we'll be in the same position. And God says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. See, we can deteriorate so much that the Bible says we can act and live like a carnal person, like a lost person. We can live in carnality. Say, no, read your Bible. Because it talks about being carnal. That means we look and act like the world. You see, we are to be an ambassador, but we are to be a reflection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The world ought to look at us and see Jesus in us. It's just like a song that's written. I love the song. Is this person, because of this person, was running through the airport and he hit a fruit stand that someone was there, and he was real close for his time on his plane, and he knew the Lord, and he said, I can't do this. And so he went back and helped this person pick up the fruit. And she asked him, says, excuse me, are you Jesus? You see, how many times do we not live up to what God says we ought to be living up to? I can tell you what happens. We get sin in our life. I can tell you this happened to David. Why else do you think that he sinned with Bathsheba? Because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be at war with his men, leading his men in battle. Instead, he stayed home. And the devil used it. It'll deteriorate our lives, folks. David didn't stay that way. He confessed it and repented of it, then wrote about it in Psalm 51. I'm just saying, we're represented. Everybody today is represented in one of these three. And please understand, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'm just saying, this is where we ought to be. And we ought to be a testimony. We don't want to be, you don't want to be like this, and that's a person that doesn't know Jesus. I'm going to tell you, God wants to give you life. He wants to quicken you today. And God doesn't want his children to be like this. He wants us to be faithful to him, serving him, and being alive in Christ and in love with him. My question today is, which one are you? Oh, don't pride say, I don't like this one right here. We need to be honest with ourselves. Because remember, God already knows. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please, no one looking around. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. I'm simply doing this so I know better how to pray for you, if you would allow me the honor. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who would say, Brother Wagoner, if I died of a heart attack right now, or of a car accident on the way home, or some other reason I would die, I am not 100% sure that I would go to heaven. I'm just not 100% sure. And I want to lift up my hand today and ask you, would you please pray for me? Anybody like that this morning? I'm not 100% sure. Yes, thank you. You can put it down. Yes, thank you. You can put it down. Yes, thank you. You can put it down. Anyone else? Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else? I'm not 100% sure that if I dropped dead of a heart attack right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Then here's my second question. Those of you who are saved, you know that beyond any shadow of any doubt. You know that if you died today, you're going to heaven. But you also know that there's some things in your life that are not right with God. Your testimony isn't what it ought to be. You're not honoring the Lord in your life. You say, Brother Wagner, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but there's some things hindering my walk with the Lord today. Would you please pray for me? You just lift up your hand and put it back down. Yes, thank you. Yes, 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 yes. Any others? Any others? I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would please. And here's what I'd like to do. I know the pastor is not here. But here's what I'd like to invite you to do. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to have a word of prayer. And you raised your hand and you're not sure that you're going to heaven. I want to invite you just to come and just take me by the hand and say, Preacher, I'm not sure. Matter of fact, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Brother Sam come, if you would please, Sam. Just so that I can continue praying if someone comes. You come in and take Brother Sam by the hand and just say, Brother Sam, this is Pastor's son, Brother Sam. I'm not 100% sure. Here's what he will do. He will get you with someone who will pray with you so that you can make sure of this today. And if you are saved and you know you're headed for eternity and you raised your hand that you know you're saved but you know things aren't right with you and the Lord, I invite you to come and meet with God at this altar and get things taken care of. But if you're not sure you're going to heaven, you come and take Brother Sam's hand and just say, listen, Brother Sam, I'm not sure. And I'm asking you to do that while I pray. We're not going to have any music. But while I'm praying for you, I'm going to ask you to come and do that. You'll not be made to do anything. We just want to pray and help you to know where you'll spend eternity and that your life is right with the Lord. You say, well, there's someone in my way. You start moving, they'll move out of your way. They'll let you come. But it's so important you respond. I wish I could do it for you, but I can't. It's a personal thing. And so I invite you to do that. Would you come while I pray? Father, I want to thank you for the honor today that we see these three different things in this portion of Scripture. And I want to thank you for these who raise their hand. They're not 100% sure they're going to heaven. And I know the devil wants to fight. But I pray that they'll not listen to the devil. These who raise their hands are not sure that they'll come and just say, Brother Sam, I'm just not sure. And that they would make sure of that. We want to help them to make sure, but we can't do it for them. We need to help them make sure that they're going to heaven. And I just pray that you'd have your will in your way. And then, Father, for those who gave testimony, they know they're saved, but things are not right. I just pray they'd step out right now and come while I'm praying. Just come on and get things right with you. Father, it's so important. We want you to be honored and glorified and for you to have your will in your way in every heart. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.